For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.
Power Punch. Get charged up on the truth. Now, Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome to another action-packed edition of Power Punch with the Kung Fu Grip. I don't know if any of that's true. I'm just making it up. But what I'm not making up is how glad I am that you're here with me, because I've really, really come to enjoy this time together. If nothing else, it's therapeutic for me. Sure, you may be listening live. You may be listening on the podcast. You may be listening just, you know, huddled under a corner in the communist state or country that you lived in. I appreciate that. It is time that we get to talk about the truth. We get to talk about the like-minded ideas that we all have for making our country better. And we get to have a little giggle at the left, because if we giggle a little bit, at least delays the tears for just a little while longer with what is going on in our nation. My name is Larry Behrens. I'm the communications director for Power of the Future. Check us out, powerofthefuture.com. Lots of good stuff there. Some that we'll talk about today. But you know what? When I say I'm happy that you've joined us in this program, I really mean it. I was getting ready for today's show, and I was thinking that, and this will become more apparent as I talk about what we're going to talk about here in a bit. But you know, you're getting up, set up here for your hour of deprogramming, right? You know what I'm talking about. And I feel like if you ever watched, what was the movie? The name escapes me right now. Red Dawn, and not the version with Thor in it. No, I'm talking about the old one. You know, it was filmed not too far from where I grew up, and it was always just an interesting thing to look at when you think about, never here. And there's that one scene where they're out in the forest and they're cold. That's pretty much every scene I know. But they're listening to the radio stations. They got the radio, and they're hearing, like, this is Radio Free America to all our patriots on the other side. The chairs against the wall. The crow caws at midnight. And you think, wow, that's weird. That's weird that they have to, you know, that the radio signals are so rare that they just can't. And now I feel like we're there, right? I feel like, sadly, that we're on the point of where, you know, there's so many powers that be trying to quiet voices, because that's the tool of the left. And I use the term tool pejoratively, because that's what they deserve. But anyway, that's the tool of the left. They never want to have, open debate. Oh, it's always, you have to be silenced. Your words cannot reach the ears of people. Because if they do, it's bad. It is amazing to me that is their default setting. And sometimes, just sometimes, they get caught saying the quiet part out loud, don't they? And we had that this week with none other than election loser and election denier, Hillary Rodham Clinton. Fun fact, I came within about 20 feet of interviewing former Secretary Clinton once. It was awkward, mostly for me, because I didn't want to end up on a suicide list, but I digress. She gave an interview this week, and by now you've heard it, but I want you to just really listen to where it is, because you're going to hear her discussion, and you're going to hear, you can almost get into a little bit, as much as you can handle. You can almost get into a little bit of how her mind works. Now, this is a longer clip coming up, but I want you, as we go through it, to hear how she kind of builds up. She starts, you know, with one foot maybe in the rational world. No, I'm just kidding. It's never in the rational world, but one foot closer to the rational world. And then you see just how it progresses to crazy, because for two reasons. One, this is what she truly believes. She's saying the quiet part out loud. And two, she's got a friendly CNN reporter there that she knows, even if I mess up, even if I say something so outrageous, they'll just keep shaking their heads because they're so glad to meet me. Let's listen to what the election loser said this last week.
Very strong partisans in both parties in the past. And we had very bitter battles over all kinds of things, gun control and climate change and the economy and taxes. But there wasn't this little tail of extremism waving, you know, wagging the dog of the Republican Party as it is today. Mm-hmm. And sadly, so many of those extremists, those MAGA extremists, take their marching orders from Donald Trump, who has no credibility left by any measure. He's only in it for himself. He's now defending himself in civil actions and criminal actions. And when do they break with him? You know, because at some point, you know, maybe there needs to be a formal deprogramming of the cult members, but something needs to happen.
Formal deprogramming. That's what she's talking about. That's where she ended up. And it's right there at the end, right? She talks about, oh, we used to be able to work on things like climate change and then blah, blah, blah. Formal deprogramming. And it's absolutely insane, right? And she's not saying it tongue in cheek. And even if she is, let's just say for a moment that, you know, we believe the leftists, oh, you know, she was just being Hillary. That's just Hillary being Hillary. Who uses language like that? Who looks at someone who they disagree with and says, you can use some formal deprogramming? Like no one would think that's funny. By the way, Red Dawn had a scene of formal deprogramming, did it not? At the movie theater? Yeah, you remember. And this is where they go. This is what, and you have to wonder how quickly this gets from a maybe tongue-in-cheek laugh line from Hillary Clinton to reality. And I know everyone's like, Larry, you need to double up on that tinfoil hat. I don't care. I don't care. The stuff we've seen over the past 3 years, doctors that couldn't prescribe medicine to their patients, and now we find out the medicine worked. You needed formal deprogramming. You have to be silenced. Your voice can't be out there. You can't say those things, even if it's your experience, even if it's what is going on, because it goes against what the groupthink needs you to believe. And I don't mean to start off, you know, too much in the conspiracy theory realm today, but I embrace it. I lean into it. When someone says, oh, that's a conspiracy theorist, it's kind of like when they call us racist. And it's like, okay, that's how I know you have no answer to what I'm saying, because you have to go to those just liberal fallback positions of just calling the names of it. And when we talk about someone, particularly who still wields I got to be honest, weird influence, right? She lost an election years ago. She's still bitter about it. That's why she does interviews. Why does the press keep going to her? Well, I don't see Michael Dukakis doing a tour. Well, I don't know. Is there a tank available? Hats off if you get the reference. You have to wonder, you know, John Kerry. Oh, yeah, John Kerry still is doing tours. But you have to wonder, here's this person who lost an election, has not held any formal position since then, besides a terrible book that nobody read, and they keep going back to her. And you have to ask yourself, why? How does she still get this influence? Well, maybe because she's putting out issues or ideas like formal deprogramming. And I bring this up for lots of reasons. One is, you know, so that we have our caution and our guard up and just look at what they're saying out loud. And let's just dive into it a little bit. Who's in charge of formal deprogramming? It's all of us, right? It's those MAGA Republicans. It's those people who believe in Donald Trump no matter what. Well, where does that leave us? Like, are you going to, how do you find those folks out? Anyone who's wearing a red hat, red MAGA hat? Anyone who posts something online, we know you're watching that. We know the NSA checks your texts. Anyone donate to the Trump campaign? I mean, how are they going to decide who needs the formal deprogramming? And then what form does that take? Is it, is it the movie screen theater at Red Dawn where you have to sit there? They just play propaganda over the airwaves all the time. Is that what it looks like? What does formal deprogramming look like? And by the way, little leftist lapdog reporter who was interviewing Hillary Clinton, when you hear a phrase like that, that should, in a rational human being's brain, pop up a red flag. And you don't have to drill. You don't have to get adversarial with her. All you have to ask is, what do you mean by that? What do you mean formal deprogramming? And then we find out a little more. But no, they just go. And it's like they agree. I was like, oh, yeah. Yeah, totally. Totally. Those people need it. They absolutely need it. It is insane. You know, it's fascinating that the cult on the left who decides that, you know, Chinese slave labor and children working in mines is better for the world, and they call us the immovable cult. By the way, we have a mugshot, right, of the former president, Donald Trump. Do we have a mugshot of Hunter Biden? He's been charged with crimes, right? How come he gets away with no mugshot? We've gotten into it. But going back to formal deprogramming, I have to share this with you. I'm going to lighten a little bit. You're welcome. have to share this with you because this came from some of my friends this week at Daily Kos. Yeah, I had never heard of them either. But yet they wanted to come after your humble radio host. Why? Why? Because I had the audacity. It's something I talked about on the show a couple weeks ago, right? So you may recall a couple weeks ago, I brought up this point of, speaking of formal deprogramming, that the leftist media, Columbia Journalism Review, was hosting a symposium to educate journalists, formal deprogramming, educate journalists on how to report on the climate, on, quote, a world on fire. Yeah, so they're not reporting on climate enough. Journalists, we're going to send you here to tell you how to do it right, i.e., you're not pushing the groupthink enough, and so you have to come to New York for your formal deprogramming. No wonder Hillary talks about it. She's probably been doing it to her side forever. I mean, look at, I mean, I'm getting worked up. I mean, do you remember when she rigged the election against, what's his face? The crazy guy from Vermont, Bernie, right? She got him out with the superdelegates. How much formal deprogramming did that take? Anyway, I move on. How am I stacking stuff here? Some lists. Because I wrote a little op-ed on this. I literally called it a re-education camp for journalists going to learn the green agenda. And this is what our friends of the Daily Kos said in response to me. How could they? Should schools teach science? Should journalists report on it? Not according to some op-eds published last week, gasping and clutching pearls at the idea of people becoming better informed about an issue of global consequence. On Thursday, the Daily Caller ran Larry Behrens' op-ed. Yeah, that's right. They did. Inside Climate Alarmist Blueprint for Media Transformation. Because that's what they said. Behrens' supposedly inside information is a very public posting about a two-day event on reporting on climate change, covering Climate Now is hosting with the Columbia Journalism Network. Well, but since it's being held at Columbia Journalism School, that's the institution Behrens targets, neglecting to mention the range of media organizations participating in the event. He calls the school where students learn to be reporters. Yeah, I bet they do. I bet they do. One of the institutions leftist journalists strive to impress, because it is, it's hardly a gated country club. And they're going out to say, instead of being a propagandist, Larry Behrens should just reconsider his life. Okay, I added that last part, but they came pretty close. They came pretty close to it. And so it's fair, right? It's all fair game. I write that your re-educating camp is akin to communist greenwashing. And they say, nuh-uh, it's educating them. Okay, I call it re-educating. You call it educating. I guess we both agree that you are indoctrinating reporters. Nonetheless, they came out and said that I'm just terrible. I'm just a terrible person for that. And I granted, this is a little self-serving, but lo and behold, now you remember that Columbia Journalism Review, right? And they said, I read it right there, Daily Kos. There's no big deal. They're just educating them. What's the problem? I'll tell you the problem. 2 days after their re-education camp, this was just this last week. This is from our friends at the Associated Press who got, was it like 20 million? To report on climate issues, saying that journalism isn't showing enough urgency in covering climate change, the editor of the Columbia Journalism Review is leaving his job to devote his time to try and change that. The guy literally hosting the conference 3 days after it's over says, oh yeah, I'm leaving and I'm going to join this group that is hosting these re-education camps across the country. And oh, by the way, it's probably going to be making a whole lot more money. And oh, by the way, there's going to be lots of pocket lining. These journalists, they go to re-education camp and then all of a sudden they're leaving to join Covering Climate Now, an organization he helped launch. Journalism still isn't devoting enough attention to the climate crisis. It has not matched the scale of coverage. Ah! I can't read it without throwing up. So first of all, I told you it was going to happen. So first lesson you should take from this is appreciate me now and avoid the rush. The second one is when Hillary Clinton talks about formal deprogramming, sadly, they have a tested product, do they not, in the green agenda. They pulled these little starry, dewy-eyed reporters in, and these reporters like, I just want to tell the truth to the world. It's like, yes, that's right. Come to New York. Come work with us. We'll tell you about a world on fire. And next thing you know, these editors who are supposed to be objective, supposed to be teaching others how to be objective, they're leaving to form their own little groups It's a whole lot of fun. Well, speaking of own little groups, actually, that's no segue at all. We're going to talk a little bit about what happened on the board this week. I'm sure you heard, but there's a little context. We're going to be added to it. You're listening to Power Punch. Stay with us.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcasts, articles, and more, find us on newstalkstl.com. Get charged up on the truth. Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL.
Welcome back to Power Punch. I'm so glad you're here with me. It's good time. It's radio free, right? Until those goons come find me here in my closet in my underground bunker. We're going to keep talking with you and spreading the truth. And I also want to send a special thank you. I know Ken's listening. Ken, the producer who makes this all happen. I really appreciate all that help out there. And in no elegant segue at all, let's talk about the border. We had a lot of fun with the border this week, did we not? And when I say fun, it's an absolute terrible disaster. But that hasn't changed since Joe Biden took off. And so the disaster continues, sadly, to tragic and terrible consequences, both for those trying to come into our country and for the United States itself. But we're just going to look the other way right now because we have some hypocrisy to point out. That's right. We all saw the news this week. First of all, let's get to this clip. Let's just give you a little history of none other than Vice President Joseph Biden, who's getting ready to argue with President Biden about the border wall and his own Secretary of Homeland Security.
No, there will not be another foot of wall constructed in my administration, number one. Number two, what I'm going to focus on the fact is that somebody in this group written a lot about the border.
And there you have it, 20 miles more of border wall in Texas. And you know, I've seen some of the reports and they may be exactly right. This is just Joe Biden. He knows he's about a year out from trying to be in re-election. He knows the border is an issue more and more Americans are caring about. So he's doing this, you know, token build and so forth. But you know, that's not what he said this week. It was really fascinating to watch Thursday as President Biden came out and said, they appropriated the money for it. Well, let's just get into it because I think it's funny. I could be the only one. I think it's funny. So this was our good friend AOC, Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez. And if you recall back in 2018, in one of the greatest propaganda stunts that we've probably seen in the last 10 plus years, she goes to the border in that white outfit. She's staring just hurtfully at a fence. And then she starts this just like she's writhing in pain about what she sees at the fence. Listen, I grew up along the border. I've reported on the border. I've won awards for reporting on the border. There you go, Columbia Journalism Review. And what she saw was what happens all the time. Do you remember Children in Cages? Of course you all do. I'm going to assume that we all have this high news intelligence because I'm sure we do. We know that it's just complete hypocrisy for the left on this issue. Children in Cages, she hasn't been to the border since, right? There's no wild propaganda story to be pushing. But lo and behold, this week she got mad. She'd be mad, boys and girls. AOC be mad. And not just because you can't date her. She said this week, as Biden's restarted on the wall, and Secretary Mayorkas, I hope I'm not pronouncing his name correctly, Secretary Mayorkas said it was an immediate need. Write that down, kids. That'll come back later here. And this is what AOC, she is demanding Biden reverse course on a border wall construction. Yeah, that's right. Just turn it around. Turn it around, Grandpa Joe. She says a wall does nothing to deter people who are fleeing poverty and violence from coming to the United States. Walls only serve to push migrants into more remote areas, increasing their chances of death. It is a cruel policy. And here's where it's going to get crazy. She's right. For a little bit anyway. So if you're along the border, you have these places called ports of entry, right? That's pretty much where we drive off, you drive across and they drive back and so forth. And it is generally speaking, not under Joe Biden, but generally speaking, secure. And the places off the port of entry for a mile or two do have walls, do have barriers. And they know that most people cross at those ports of entry, or POE as the kids call it. And that's where they had the wall infrastructure. Well, President Trump wisely said, why don't we build a wall of the whole thing? And then we all saw the leftists freak out, including from AOC about that. But here she admits it, right? Again, saying the quiet part out loud. Walls only serve to push migrants into more remote areas. So here's my question for AOC. If she's upset that walls only push migrants into more remote areas, which is actually true, migrants will go where the walls aren't, does she support a wall over the whole border? I mean, if she doesn't want migrants pushed to these areas, Does she support that wall across the whole border? Oh, no, she's just anti-wall altogether, right? And she said, we must more seriously examine the root of migration, not the R-O-U-T-E root, the R-O-O-T root, as in the metaphysical root of migration. We must look into it. I'll tell you what it is. It's an open border. That's the root of this migration issue, of Joe Biden saying, the border, come on in. They're literally opening up the gates where there are a wall. They literally open them up to come in. That's the root of the issue. And here was one of my favorite parts of the week. I almost made it the laugher story of the week, but I figured I couldn't wait too long to talk about the border. Here's what happened this week, because after saying that Mr. Mayorkas saying that the wall was an immediate need, well, you saw what AOC said. And he had to walk it back.
I want to address today's reporting relating to a border wall and be absolutely clear. There is no new administration policy with respect to the border wall. Allow me to repeat that. There is no new administration policy with respect to the border wall. From day one, this administration has made clear that a border wall is not the answer. That remains our position, and our position has never wavered. The language in the Federal Register notice is being taken out of context, and it does not signify any change in policy whatsoever.
Do you see, America? It's just your fault. You took it out of context. It was really your fault. When he said immediate need, what he really meant was you're taking that out of context. Oh my gosh, talk about your deprogramming program. Oh my gosh, so wait, immediate need does not mean something that is needed immediately. What kind of mental gymnastics do you have to do? Sidetrack real quick. If you ever want to tell your kid, mommy, daddy, I'm a lazy person and I really don't want to work for a living, what's the easiest job in the world I could do? It's okay, Junior. Democrat politician. It's the easiest job in the world. Because no one will ever call you on your hypocrisy. No one will ever remember that what you said 2 or 3 months ago is different than what you said now. No one will ever worry about it. We have a whole lapdog media that we pay and line their pockets so that they do your bidding. That's all you need to do if you don't really want to work for a living. And so when I say immediate need, what I really meant was you don't get it. That's what we are meant to believe here. It gets better. It was on Thursday that Biden suggested the decision to start rebuilding the wall again. It's out of his hands. He's powerless to do anything about it. That's right. This was his. It's quoting here now. Money was appropriated for the border wall. That's what he said to reporters. I tried to get them to reappropriate, to redirect that money, but they didn't. Who is they, by the way? If you're the president of the United States, I tried to get them to report. They work for you, right? Who is they? And in the meantime, there's nothing under the law other than they have to use the money for what it was appropriated. I can't stop that, he said. MAGA Republicans made Joe Biden build the wall. Oh my gosh. If I'm Donald Trump, I'm going on Twitter right now and saying, not only did we got Mexico to pay for it, we made Joe Biden do it too. I mean, that's legacy right there. The border wall was so good that even Joe Biden had to build it. That's impressive, is it not? That is incredible that we have this. So Alejandro Mayorkas initially expressed an immediate need for the wall, clarified, that's right, kids, clarified, i.e. walked it back, that its construction represented no change in the administration's position. I'm sorry. Hillary's already formally deprogrammed these people. How can you look at, I mean, and they've been doing it to us for a long time, right? We see the pictures of the flood of humanity coming across the border. The border's not wide open. They have to have you not believe your own lying eyes. And that's what we're dealing with here. And it's not just the border, it's everything. And it is insanely dangerous. It is so dangerous because not only, it's not enough that they're lying and they know that we know they're lying. They've now taken it to a new level of, we're lying, we know you know we're lying, and now we have to condescendingly and maybe even deprogram you for calling out the fact that we're lying. That's where it is. I mean, and that's another thing. Can somebody ask Hillary? I mean, while she's doing plenty of interviews, can somebody ask Hillary if part of the, I don't know, the entrance requirements to her formal re-education camp, if that is, you know, part of it is you want to close the border? Is that part of it, Hillary? I don't know. I mean, if we had a real media, they may ask her that question. But here we had AOC saying, dare you start rebuilding the wall. And we forget, again, because the easiest job in the world is being a Democrat politician. Here we have, just from 2 weeks ago. And this is a real story. Again, if it wasn't real, I couldn't do that with it. From 2 weeks ago, Representative Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez and other Democrats were loudly heckled Friday at a press conference in New York City regarding the migrant crisis there. This is her own district. This is her own city. The Democrats who spoke outside the Roosevelt Hotel in Manhattan, which has become a relief center for asylum seekers, were drowned out by protesters shouting, send them back and close the border. She's not listening. Her own constituents are telling her to close the border. They were shouting it down while she was trying to hold the press conference. 2 weeks later, not a single reporter asked her about that as she whines about Joe Biden starting to rebuild the wall. And I think, I don't know. I mean, we may put together some MAGA Republicans made me do it buttons to send them to the White House. Because when we talk about Joe Biden saying, they told me I couldn't do it. Who told you? Who is this they that says you can't do what needs to be done? There is nobody in the executive branch of government, which is building this wall. There is nobody there that does not work for you. Who is this they that tells you you can't? Well, we have to. We just have to build it. This is, again, we're told it's an immediate need. And then we're saying, you're taking that out of context. We're told the border is not open, but he's moving forward with a border wall. We're told that he's in control. He's the president. And with the exception of his dog, he's in charge of things. But yet he's telling us, nope, they told me I can't do that. Isn't it impressive? Right? The mental gymnastics that they are trying to make us believe, to understand their spin isn't working. I mean, you have to be looking outside this world. And we'll get to the economy here in a second. Just chill out over there, economy, because Joe Biden is very, very proud of his economy, and he shouldn't be. But it's getting worse, is it not? They're trying to tell you that things are one way when all evidence points to the contrary. Crime's not that bad. Look outside your window. It's not. It's certainly not due to an open border. Turn on the news. Well, if that border's open, it's just because it's not because we need that wall for an immediate need. Really? Really? Well, I mean, I didn't want to do it, but they made me do it. The insane hip-hopping back and forth of this administration trying to tell you that reality isn't reality. I mean, George Orwell would look at this and say, oh, that's pretty good. I never thought it'd be that bad. Well, I'll tell you what is going to be good. We got a break coming up. Our last segment's coming at you. We're going to talk some more. Come on back with us.
In all your ways, it falls on me.
Get more Power Punch at NewstalkSTL.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on NewstalkSTL.com. Get charged up on the truth. Power Punch with Larry Behrens on Newstalk STL.
And we're back with Power Punch. Thank you so much for being here. That's right, I had a little mental lapse there. I'm trying to get all this organized. There's so much to tell you and to talk about. You know, it's not easy entertaining the world, but you know what? You make it easy by listening and participating. Thank you so much. Anytime you want to engage in the conversation, as the leftists call it, let's start a conversation. Anytime you want to do that, feel free to send me an email, larry@powerthefuture.com. You want to check in during the week, you can go on the Twitters, @LarryBehrens. I'm not going to call it that other name. It's still Twitter. @LarryBehrens is where you can find me there, or powerthefuture.com. We post a lot of fun stuff during the week. And one of the things that I noticed, this came out on Friday, had a jobs report. President Biden, very proud of his jobs report. I guess I don't know if those are, wall building jobs or not. I digress. I'm kidding. AOC, settle down. You can't date me. So the jobs report came out and he was very proud of all the new jobs. I want to say it was like 330,000 jobs created. Oh, the economy's great. That's what Grandpa Can't Climb the Big Stairs said. Economy's great. Well, here's what the jobs report came out showing, 336,000 jobs. But when you actually break it down, when you actually look at the numbers, here it is. There are 70,000 new jobs. Congratulations. They're all in government. Oh, that climate core? Oh, my gosh. That gender studies major finally has a path to a career, a government job in the climate core. 87,000 IRS agents, or was it 67,000? I don't know. Maybe they need to audit me because I'm not getting my numbers correct. So 70,000 of those new jobs are Joe Biden's controllable jobs. Those are the people that are going to tell him the next thing that he can't do. 151,000 of those jobs are part-time. So full-time private sector jobs actually went down by 22,000. So if someone, and I'm sure more than a couple people are in this zone, maybe even listening right now, if someone has two part-time jobs, congratulations. Joe Biden is taking credit for creating two jobs. That's where we are today. He runs out and declares victory over absolutely nothing. The economy is getting worse, and you know that, right? You've been to the grocery store, and you may have three of those part-time jobs that Joe Biden is happy that you have. And he's declaring victory, celebrating how he's creating jobs. And the leftist lapdog media is right there with them. They're trumpeting. Everything's great. We're looking at the numbers here because we're not actually going out in America and looking people in the eye, because that would be too uncomfortable. And they're not, they haven't been formally deprogrammed yet. Maybe we will after that. But when you look at the president celebrating 336,000 jobs, 70,000 are government jobs, 151,000 are part-time, that's not a celebration. That is 22,000 jobs lost, full-time jobs. That's not time for celebration. It's time for desperation from Joe Biden. I promise I'll get to a happy place before we're done today. But couple of stories, and we're just going to jump back and forth here, right? Because while Joe Biden is, and I think we talked about this a little bit last week, right? Joe Biden is celebrating the creation of jobs. Meanwhile, it's 70,000 jobs. So he's taking our tax dollars to create, using the air quotes, create jobs, and then he takes credit for it, right? It's a pretty good gig if you can get it in the political world. How many of those press releases have Democrats sent out saying, look at what we're investing in? You're not investing in anything. You took our money. And you're resending it to your political, anyway, sorry, I digress. Hey, speaking of taking your money and repurposing it, this came out this week. So you know how those solar panels and those windmills that Joe Biden loves so much, you know how the left is just saying, oh, so affordable, so wonderful. You know how the left's just saying all that? Well, it came out this week that the Biden administration had to quietly issue a 59-page report. They outlined the current scope of federal energy-related subsidies. Okay, are you ready for this? So the backstory on this is two senators, and one of them was Joe Manchin and Barrasso of Wyoming, John Barrasso, John and Joe, decided to ask the Biden administration, hey, can you do us a favor? Can you look at all the subsidies we're handing out for our energy so we can see who's getting them? And you know, you and I both know that if it was oil, natural gas, and coal that were leading the way with massive subsidies, Joe Biden would have held a press conference every day of the week. He would have gone on a tour. He may have even got one of those, you know, old age chairs that gets up the stairs for you. You remember those from the 80s? I forgot what they're called, the lift chairs. I joke, I'm like 5 years away from needing one. Anyway, and what we found was the report authored by the Department of Energy's Information Administration. Yes, a real title. I'm not making it up. And it was published in August. So how did it find the news now? Oh, yeah, a reporter had to go dig it up. It represents the first of its kind since 2018. So they looked at data from 2016 to 2022 and determined during that time period, the federal government doled out $183 billion in direct and mainly indirect taxpayer subsidies. Okay, so more than half of that was in the last 3 years. There's going to be a few numbers. I'm not trying to mess with you, but work with me here. So that's $183 billion with a B dollars. Just to give you a perspective, it takes about $220 billion a year to run the entire United States Navy. We're going to get into navies a little bit too. And so that gives you a little perspective. According to the report, renewable energy sources like wind and solar account for 21% of domestic energy production. Hey, congratulations, 21%. That's a failing grade in everything that you do, right? Hey, honey, did you get everything right? Well, 21% of it, right? Hey, are you a good baseball player? I get a hit 21% of the time. Yeah, we're all failures in that situation. So, but they received a staggering $83.8 billion. This is by far the largest share compared to any other category. And oh, by the way, those evil oil and natural gas, I hear you hippies out there. Shut up, hippies. Stop banging the drums for 2 seconds. I'll get to it. Like, what about the oil, natural gas, and coal? What about those? Okay. So 86.3, almost 84 billion. 84 billion for your windmills and sun panels. You know how much oil and natural gas gets? 24.5 or 13% of the subsidies. So the report's findings suggest far more taxpayer money is being spent per energy unit produced by green energy sources for the equivalent energy produced by fossil fuel. Your money is being used to prop up an industry that is an absolute failure that nobody asked for, nobody wants, except for the guys making money off of it. Do you want to, let me just riddle you this. Do you know why Joe Biden vacations at billionaire Tom Steyer's house? And do you know why Tom Steyer is a billionaire? It's because of subsidies like these. Do you know why Michael Bloomberg can spend $500 million trying to shut down every coal plant on the face of the planet, except those in China, right, Michael? It's because of massive subsidies like these. And it gets worse. So when you look at $86 million in subsidies over the last 3 years, and this is before the Inflation Reduction Act takes effect, oh my gosh, what an absolute windfall that's going to be. And you know who it's going to, boys and girls? Say it with me. Chinese Communist Party. Here it is. In June 2015, President Trump said, I will build a great, great wall on our southern border and I will have Mexico pay for that wall, end quote. Years later, Joe Biden would build it too. So the Chinese Navy has grown from 216 ships to 351 ships. That is largely the United States Navy. Thankfully, we still have a massive amount of aircraft carriers and thankfully subs, but China wouldn't have such a formidable Navy without American investors unwillingly helping them. And there's the point. Six of the top 10 windmill manufacturers are in China. Nine out of the top 10 sun panel manufacturers are in China. When you hear $83 billion in subsidies, and that's before the Inflation Reduction Act, that's before, you know, the big guy gets his 10%, you start to see the billions we are sending to a nation that is trying to undermine us at every turn. What kind of insane situation are we in right now where Joe Biden considers it a success that the only jobs growing are jobs that are funded by taxpayer and the only industries growing are those that are funded by the taxpayer and our adversaries in the world, we're bankrolling their Navy. That is insane. And that's why I said $220 billion is for our Navy. Joe Biden just sent $369 billion in Inflation Reduction Act money. How much of that are the communists going to get in China? This is the problem. There is not, it goes, free market, absolutely. And being able to choose what power you want, absolutely. And I understand global supply chains. I understand all the hippies over there beating the drum are going to be like, oh, but we would have them here in the United States. No, we wouldn't. Joe Biden has shut down mining. He shut down any type of real manufacturing. Hey, how many strikes did we have under President Trump? Oh, yeah, that's right, none. He's shutting it all down. Meanwhile, our adversaries are getting stronger and Joe Biden's friends are getting richer. And that's even before we talk about the deal Hunter Biden got some money from, right, for being able to get a mine in Africa for a Chinese company. All right, I've been mean to you. I apologize. I've been mean to you with this information, but it is stuff that no one is talking about, but that hits us in the pocket every single day. Because when we fill up at the pump, when we have to try to take a trip to the grocery store and try to spend less than 50 or 100 bucks now, it is impossible. That's why we're working 3 part-time jobs. Joe Biden takes credit for those too. Here's something that will, I don't know if it'll make you feel better. It makes me feel a little better. I'm just going to have a little giggle, a little laugh. So there's the largest EV charging station in the world. If you're familiar with Buc-ee's, think of a Buc-ee's, but with EV chargers, right? So it's called the Harris Ranch, say it with me, Tesla Supercharger Station. So it's an impressive beast, according to this article. 98 charging bays. Oh my gosh. Can you imagine how many staffers Jennifer Granholm would need to fill up all? I'm just kidding. Not really. So it's in Coalinga, California. It's the largest charging station in the world. Congratulations. Largest in the world. In fact, Elon Musk posted on Twitter, over time, almost all of it will disconnect from the electric grid. Good job, Elon. All right, buddy. But for now, these superchargers are charging vehicles up to the 80% sweet spot in as little as 20 minutes. First of all, let's just talk about the rationale behind that 80% sweet spot. Do you fill up your gas-powered car and fill up the tank 80% and go, that's the sweet spot? No, full is full. But no, 80% is now full, according to the Eco Left. So let me say, but to provide that kind of power from those 98 chargers to get to 80%, it requires something that solar can't provide, which is diesel generators. Investigative journalist Edward Niedermeyer discovered that the station was powered by diesel generators hidden behind a small shell station. Reporters at the San Francisco Gate tried to find out how much the station's electricity was from the generators, but couldn't get a response from Tesla. We know this is the reality. The world's large, like it should be the mecca for this, right? The future is here. All those billions in subsidies. And you still need diesel generators to make it work. So let me get this straight. Batteries made by Chinese slaves and children in the Congo, then mined there and then processed in China, sent back to the United States under, you know, slap a Tesla sticker on it. And it is now, I guess, wink, an American car. And we'll take it to this charging station to get to the sweet spot of 80%, not, you know, full of it. And then we're just going to use fossil fuels to do it. That's good. But just having that energy extracted directly and put into my tank in my car is bad? This is the world we live in right now. This is the reality that Joe Biden wants us to deny. Here's another case. So this was energy analyst and writer David Blackman. He authored a book. You could read it if you want. But he says the use of diesel power generators is not limited to that big station. He used to shop at a Whole Foods in Houston, Texas. The company had installed a charging station in front of the store for customers. It was the best parking spot in the lot, and it crowded out a bunch of handicapped spaces, according to Blackman. Now, he said there were diesel generators behind the store, and whenever someone was using the chargers, the generators would kick on. Wait, you need power to charge these things? So it is, again, not to laugh too much, but we need to realize the reality of the world, because we're not getting the reality from Washington, but you're going to get the reality here every week. Once a dose, mainlight into your veins. Thank you so much for joining me for this week's Power Punch. We're going to do it again next week. I'll see you then.
Awake on my airplane. Awake on my airplane. My skin is there. My skin is there.
Get more Power Punch at newstalkstl.com. This is Power Punch with Larry Behrens on News Talk STL. For podcast articles and more, find us on newstalkstl.com.